Ugh. Not again. Feeling like you might freak out? Try Guaranteed Ride Home from Commuter Connections. If you ride share to work, you're eligible for a couple of free rides home each year, guaranteed. Why freak out about getting home in case of illness, unexpected emergencies, or unscheduled overtime? Register or renew today for free at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. That's commuterconnections.org. Some restrictions apply.
Tisha Lewis here at the Fox 5 DC studios in the nation's capital for the Good Word, a faith-based podcast. We talk about faith and the intersection of faith and everything, including money, faith and money, faith and finances, faith and family, faith and work, and of course, faith and drug addiction, how to overcome that. But today, sitting to my left is Javeda Smith. This is your second time on the Good Word.
Yes.
I'm so happy to have you back because I felt like the topic that we discussed last time was so, so important. We talked about overcoming drug addiction, and we also touched on a topic that we're going to dive into a little bit more today, which is forgiveness.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So your life has been a whirlwind since you were last on The Good Word. Tell us what happened. We want to know.
So I have been all over the place encouraging families that have been torn by the scars of addiction to reunify, to forgive. But it's more than that. It's not just the families that are stuck in the middle of addiction. People have issues with people in their family just because they're mad at them, just because they feel disrespected. And if we profess to be Christians, people who walk in out the good word, we've got to learn to forgive. We have got to learn. And once you learn to forgive, you will find the favor of God that rests on your life. Your life will literally change. So I have been all over all these different radio and TV syndicates since I've last been on the Good Word. But I've also been doing book signings. And I have had literally women lay in my arms crying because they have just gotten over or coming through addiction, or they want their children back, or they want their families to forgive the way that they see me, the way they see that I have forgiven. They want the freedom that is in forgiveness. And they lay in my arms, they tell me their stories, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to share what that feels like on both sides. Mm-hmm. And most recently, my youngest daughter and I went through something since May. Mm-hmm. I think it was since May. And we had been going through a lot about my book, because she was not happy with the contents of my book as it relates to my mother, because that's who raised her. So that was her, that's her baby, that's her heart. Mm-hmm. And it had literally continued to cause tearing in our relationship, even though she hasn't read the whole book, just because of what she thought and what she assumed. And so I think since May, we both have been wrestling. Her cousins, my nieces, my children, all have been in our ears drilling that, come on, y'all need to get it together. Mm-hmm. You all need to get it together. So a couple of weeks ago, both of our churches, she goes to the United House of Prayer, I go to Greater Mount Calvary, yay, Bishop Owens, and we were having a revival with Pastor Hannah at Greater Mount Calvary, and he just started speaking about forgiveness and going back to your first love and getting back who God called you to be. And I don't even remember how I got there, but I remember I was there with my oldest daughter. I went to the altar, got on my knees, and I just began to cry out, saying, for my children, God, I trust you, God. And that was like my repetitive chant and cry. And little did I know, the United House of Prayer was having a 1 week revival at their church as well. So my daughter, my youngest daughter, who I was estranged from, she was over there. She said she had been praying about our relationship as well. So fast forward, we get to Sunday, and Pastor Will Granbury, who has been here.
Yes, who's also been a friend of The Good Word.
Yes, quite a few times, he was preaching, and literally 8 minutes of his sermon, it was Youth Sunday, and he was preaching about mothers not giving up on your daughters and families being reunified and how God was going to bring the families back together and how you can come back together. And I'm sitting there, I'm convicted, but I'm wrestling. Because I'm saying, God, you didn't call me to unhealthy relationships. You didn't call me to be unbroken. You didn't call me to hurt and cry. So I get home, I'm talking to my mentor on the phone, and I'm explaining to her, and I said, well, listen, I'm going to just be honest. God is going to have to pick up the phone himself and tell me that he has changed his child because of how she's hurt my heart. And within 3 minutes, my youngest daughter just started texting me saying, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I mean, she went into detail about the things that she had done, the things she will correct. And my heart just like literally melted. I had forgiven her, but
before
I did,
she
right,
apologized.
Before that, absolutely. But I did not know if or how the reunification would come. And we know that God calls us but to one ministry, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. And that is what literally happened. My heart could not be hardened. If you are truly a child of God, it's no way your heart cannot be receptive to the Spirit. And when she just started sending me those texts, it just went, oh goodness, I can't tell you. The week and a half has been amazing.
So let me ask you, because there's something that I've seen on social media platforms the last several weeks that I wanted to talk to you about, because I know that this is your area. This is your jam. How do you forgive someone who is not sorry?
Oh, okay. That's a fave of mine. So the first sermon that I ever preached was of the seven last words. And it was the scripture that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, when you look into, or any minister or preacher who have ever mounted a pulpit know, if you become passionate about your text, what you are conveying to the congregation, to the listeners, you really have to marinate on it. You have to become one with that scripture. And as I became one with reading and contextualizing that scripture, what I realized was this. Jesus forgave yet while people were still offending him. When he was hanging on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, they were still spitting on him. They were still beating him. They were still mocking him. He knew he was dying on the cross at the same people's hands. Yet in his heart, he knew the right thing to do was to forgive. Forgiveness is for us. If you sit and think about cancer, it is the stress that eats you up more than the actual disease. And that is the worryation. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay these doctors' bills? Who am I leaving behind? Are they ready for me to go? All of that is happening because of what you want to correct. It is the same thing with forgiveness. You can't change another person. But within yourself, you can say, I was wrong in somebody's life. Somebody did not like my behavior at some point. Who am I to cast judgment on them? And so I have to release them and forgive them and pray for them and let God do the work. God had to change you. Why do you think that you can individually change anyone? We can't. We can't. And us in our Christian selves, we know how to take a scripture and make it sound good for us. We know how to, us church folk, we know how to make a scripture sound real good for us. And I used to be one of them.
And have it suit our purposes.
And absolutely. So my favorite one was 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal the land. So my Javedaism was, was literally, well, God requires them to turn, and then he hears and forgives. So I wait till they turn. and then I will hear them and forgive. Mm. I'm not God. Mm-hmm. People aren't repenting to me. Mm-hmm. They repent to him. Mm-hmm. And so we have got to get to the point to realize that we are not God. Mm-hmm. We can have expectations of others, and absolutely we are supposed to live a healthy life. Mm-hmm. We are not supposed to have toxic things and people connected to us. Mm. But you have got to find balance. You have got to be in relationship with God, be in tune to the Holy Spirit, have discernment, and listen to what he's saying.
Ugh. Not again. Feeling like you might freak out? Try Guaranteed Ride Home from Commuter Connections. If you ride share to work, you're eligible for a couple of free rides home each year, guaranteed. Why freak out about getting home in case of illness, unexpected emergencies, or unscheduled overtime? Register or renew today for free at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. That's commuterconnections.org. Some restrictions apply.
So, you know, what I notice is that when we talk about forgiveness, it's such a taboo topic, seemingly.
Absolutely.
It's almost like money. We were talking about faith and finances last week, and now we're talking about forgiveness. And both are topics that people just don't like to talk about. They don't like to talk about forgiveness. They don't like to talk about how, when, who, what to forgive. But I think it's something that's really, really important, because once you let that hurt go and heal yourself and forgive yourself even, then you can, as I like to do on The Good Word, focus on living your best, your very
absolutely,
best life.
Absolutely. I have a family member who was sexually violated while she was growing up. And I really don't think in her subconscious, whenever I talk to her about anybody else that may feel uncomfortable with things of that nature, I don't even think that she hears herself when she sits and kind of justify what happened. Well, she may say things like, it probably wasn't that, or it probably wasn't this. And I think a lot of that is her brokenness of unforgiveness, because the person who did it to her, he's gone, he's passed away now. Mm. And nobody went back to say they believed her, mm. or to say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't even think that she knows that is there. Mm. And that is a part of making sure that you have an absolute right relationship, or stay in prayer with God so that you can hear too. You know, you have got, forgiveness is more than just a word. It's more than just a feeling. It is a lifestyle. You have got to walk it out. Mm-hmm. You have got to walk it out. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you'll be bitter. You'll take that toxic mm-hmm. unforgiveness into every friendship, every relationship. You'll be, for lack of better words, wilding out on people and don't even know why. Mm-hmm. And it's because you're still holding on to some unforgiveness. Maybe somebody violated you as a child. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that forgiveness? Mm-hmm. It's happened to me twice. I've forgiven both people. Have a very good relationship with the one, and the other one apologized to me. And it's, other than me, you know, talking about it in platforms like this, it's like it never happened. It doesn't define how I deal with relationships or meeting or dating or anything. It doesn't define any of that. When you let people offense marinate in you, you are giving them control of you. And I don't know, I'm an empowered woman. I'm not, other than God, I'm not giving nobody control
right,
of me.
Right, absolutely. So let's give our Good Word family some nuggets that they can use. Where can you start? What's step one? If you want to forgive, if you're struggling to forgive, if you're having some challenges or difficulties on just how to start, how to begin.
So if you're looking to forgive someone and you know that you are the offender, or you know that even if they are the offender, start as basic as it may sound, just write it down. If you need to forgive somebody, start writing down what they did, what you believe the problems were. You just have to start there, because you have to dig up whatever the root of it is. And once you look at that, then you can move on to the next step, which is confronting the problem. confronting or addressing whomever. If that window opens. And so because this is faith-based, I will always say pray and ask God to open that door. Ask God to pave that way for you. Because if you don't do that, you're walking in blind and their heart haven't even been prepared. And we don't want to be trying to bring something back together all the while you're breaking it more. And I mean, I've dealt with so much unforgiveness. My sister and I were estranged for 11 years. 11 years. And when we started talking, we realized we had been fake even years before that, just to be around each other. And when she and I started having daily conversations, we realized, and parents, caregivers, you have to hear this, don't start it in your household. Because what was happening was, by my mother being an addict, my sister lived with my mother. I lived with my grandparents who were, like I said, my grandfather was Bishop McCullough. So I lived in a finer home with the best of things. So when my sister would come over, my grandmother and my aunt would take me upstairs in my nice little room that was put together, but they would say, you can't go down in the basement with your sister and them, because that was, you know, where everybody who didn't live in the house but spent the night stayed. And so they drilled in me for so many years, you don't hang in the basement. You come upstairs, and everybody is not allowed upstairs. And I didn't get it. I mean, I'm an adult now, so I understand that certain people aren't allowed to certain parts of your home. But what it did, it caused a tearing between siblings, because they made her feel like I was better than and she was less than. And I'm the baby. So it caused this. I have two brothers and one sister. There was four of us. There's four of us. So it caused this tearing. So all the while, she's having feelings even growing up. You know, you have to leave. Why aren't you going home? And she didn't understand why she couldn't stay there. And even when she came into my grandmother's home and stayed there, there were still differences. My grandmother would go out of town and bring me all of this and bring her something. And so that caused dissension as we grew into adults. And so, like I said, when we got to a place, we both fell in love with each other's children. So when we became adults, even in that, it was a lot of fake competition, being competitive. Am I doing better than you? Am I doing this or am I doing that? But when we began to talk, we learned that a lot of our adult disconnection was because we weren't communicating. If we'd have just had one big argument, we would have known exactly how each other were feeling. But because family mouths was in the middle of it with their thoughts, their perceptions, even my own mother, just in the, it, everything got misconstrued, just all bad communication. And it was some things that she was able to own and some things I was able to own. Sure. And we moved past it. We've moved past it. So we're healthy now, but you've got to want it.
Right.
You've got to want it. And again, there was one particular situation that I did not want to bring up to my sister because I thought it was going to be like just the end of us even trying to reunify. And we wound up on a three-way with somebody and someone else brought it up. And she said, did you know that? And I said, yeah, I never wanted to bring it up. God, if you ask God to prepare the way, he will orchestrate the right conversation, the right time, the right pace, where you both are, whether on the phone or in each other's face, and you'll be able to rebuild a healthy relationship if that's what God, if that person is supposed to be connected to you.
So Javeda Smith, I always love and enjoy speaking with you and just hearing you speak, because I feel like it is just, I'm just soaking in all the wisdom and the knowledge and the word, the good word. It's so very important. I just want to remind everyone, be sure to subscribe. We are on iTunes and Audio Boom and Google Play and everywhere the podcasts play. And we also have a very growing and robust Facebook group. Just go to Facebook.com and search The Good Word. And we post a lot of exclusive content in there. And also we'll be posting some information about what Javed is up to in there as well. I have to ask you, as I do all of our guests, what's the good word?
Well, my good word today is a stolen good word.
We'll take it. We will take it.
So it's a stolen good word, and I love it. And I've posted it all on my Facebook page. It's from Tyler Perry spoke at Joel Osteen's church. Mm-hmm. And the title of his sermon was Climb and Maintain. Mm-hmm. And in that sermon, he talks about boosters and rockets. And he says that when a rocket reaches a certain altitude, boosters have to fall off. And he speaks about that in context of letting you know that everybody wasn't meant to be connected to you. Mm. So while we may while we must forgive, we must keep that in mind that if you are a growing person, mm-hmm. not just going, if mm-hmm. you are a mm-hmm. growing individual, you are rising to your greater. You mm-hmm. are rising to your best. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't stay connected to you. So you will have some boosters that are connected to you that have to fall off because they can't reach the certain altitudes that you're going to. Thank you, Tyler Perry.
And thank you, Javeda Smith. That is the good word. And how can folks find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Javatamym4 Christ. I am Javeda Smith on Facebook. My website is www.gavata.org. Like, subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is also Javeda Smith.
Javeda, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.